Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
One day we'll walk the reservation road. And just for that one moment, we'll be racing with the wind. And the sound of horses thundering, they'll echo once again back to a place where hearts and souls belong. I'm a thousand dreams away from my reservation road. A thousand dreams away from that reservation road.
It was a long, cold road that Gary Besaw and his fellow Menominee tribe members walked in February, 155 miles on foot, in the midst of a northern Wisconsin winter. From the reservation in Keshena all the way south to Madison, in an effort to get Governor Scott Walker to change his mind and reconsider his veto of their proposed casino in Kenosha. The governor refused to meet with them. Citing a compact drawn up by his predecessor Jim Doyle, Walker said there was a chance that the taxpayers of Wisconsin would be on the hook for any losses suffered by other regional casinos. The Menominee plan had been approved by the Department of Indian Affairs, and it was seen by Gary Besaw's people as a way out of the chronic poverty that has vexed this most unique Indian nation. For as Wisconsin's only non-public law 280 tribe, state law enforcement authorities have no jurisdiction within the Menominee reservation boundaries. Now, Gary Besaw's people are looking for another way out, and they may have found one. In an advisory referendum last week, the tribe voted to legalize both the medicinal and recreational use of marijuana. If the tribe decides to do it, the state of Wisconsin will apparently not have the power to stop it, and federal authorities may not choose to.
I was holding on to my granddad's hand. He was pointing to the promised land. It lay beyond the reservation road. Granddad, I've walked way beyond that reservation. Have you ever walked on a reservation road? Let me take you down a reservation road.
I'm Glenn Moberg. Menominee Nation Tribal Chairman Gary Besaw is our guest for the next hour on Route 51. You can talk to him directly by calling 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742, or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. Gary Besaw, thanks so much for joining us today. This is a hot topic, and we're very happy that you've chosen to speak to us about it.
Well, poso mi, or good morning in our language, Glenn. Sure, I'm more than willing, and to me, the idea of educated conversation far outweighs some of the innuendos and suppositions. All of these people are creating stories out here and building off rumors, and for us to meet and clarify that, really, we appreciate that opportunity.
Well, that's what we're all about here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's get into it. You had two advisory referendum questions last week. There was one to legalize for medicinal purposes. Now, that one passed 899 to 275, or a 76.5% margin of victory. The other one was a little bit closer, 677 to 499, to legalize for recreational purposes. That's 57.5%. What do you make of that?
Well, first I would start out with the point that the referendum is advisory in nature. So our legislative body, what others might call a tribal council, our tribal legislature is not bound by the results of the referendum. What much of what we were looking at is, after we had gotten the Department of Justice's guidance on legalized marijuana on Indian reservations, the tribe had decided to review what we thought any applicability might be to Menominee as a non-public law 280 tribe. So after that, we said, before we go forward and fully look at developing and implementing a tribal law, a tribal ordinance, let's first hear from the membership. So we asked in these two questions in an advisory referendum, and that in essence told us whether or not we would do that due diligence to put additional resources, and you know, we have limited staff and resources, but this told us to put more into it if we are going to look towards developing one or two or three ordinances, developing, you know, any variety of what we've seen their directive from to us on the referendum.
Now, the vote to legalize medicinal marijuana was just overwhelming, 76.5%. So just logically, it seems that if you were going to go forward, that would be the first step.
Well, you know, Glenn, it shouldn't be surprising when we have Minnesota, Michigan, and Illinois, the states that circle Wisconsin, that in some form or fashion, they have legalized medicinal marijuana at different levels, but they have. So for us to put an advisory referendum forward, it should not stand out as so out of the ordinary.
You've got close to 9,000 tribal members, but less than 1,200 people voted. How do you explain that?
Well, we have... the total eligible voters are a little over 7,000. You have to be 18 years of age to vote. And we put it out in 2 days where the membership could actually come in and vote. And that was last Wednesday and Thursday. And they vote in two of the communities here. But we also have absentee balloting. So we have many tribal members that live throughout Wisconsin and into Chicago and actually across the United States. So they had a chance also to vote. The amount that we probably came about 16-17% of the eligible voters had voted, and that's probably higher than our regular elections for legislature.
And then again, Gary, a lot of these people live off the reservation. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, probably. Out of the almost 9,000, little over half, I believe, live off reservation. So we have around 4,000 on reservation, and others live off.
Now, two Ojibwe tribes, the Mole Lake and Red Cliff, have also approved legalization of medical marijuana, but you've got a different legal status than them. So I'd like you to explain to our listeners why the Menominee are different and why state law enforcement authorities have no jurisdiction within your borders. You are a non-public law 280 tribe. Tell us what that's all about.
Well, there are many states, and this was enacted in the 50s, where the state actually was given authority to have jurisdiction over the reservations, the Indian reservations, which basically are in federal trust, the lands themselves. So when Menominee was terminated back in 53, and it was actually enacted in 61, when we were restored as a tribal nation in 1973, part of that negotiated settlement was that we assume criminal jurisdiction over our membership or other Native Americans. So that status is part of that non-public law 280. So we were exempt from following the state's public law 280 authority. So we have our own criminal authority over Natives, any Natives, not just Menominee, but others within the exterior boundaries of our reservation. Now, that said, the state of Wisconsin, meaning the state and the county also, they have jurisdiction over non-Natives on the reservation in victimless crimes.
Okay. So that means that if somewhere down the road you legalize marijuana and a non-native, a white guy comes into the casino and somehow gets his hands on them, the state would still have authority over that.
We believe, yes, in victimless crimes, they have that ability to exercise jurisdiction. Now, if we allow them onto the reservation or allow them on trust lands to come in and to do that, may not be some of that push and pull that ends up happening later on down the road. But yes, that we believe that jurisdiction is there. Now, whether they exercise that or not, all of this is still it's still such fresh ground.
Right.
It's our assumption, though, that whatever the state and the feds, and specifically the federal government, puts together as what they believe their interpretation of those federal guidelines for allowing this or for not prioritizing prosecution on the reservation, we would work with them to stay within those guidelines.
Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel was quoted in the Journal Sentinel, and he said, the Menominee is always the exception because we don't have any jurisdiction. But he also said that if you tried to produce marijuana, quote, he would not sit back. So you're getting kind of mixed messages from him. He also indicated that if any of the other tribes tried to grow marijuana, the ones that the state has some authority over, and this is a quote, we would work to shut it down. We're not going to sit back and let it happen.
But he said, in context, he said, in places where we have that jurisdiction. So he has jurisdiction, but not on tribal members or natives on our reservation. Within that, he does not have jurisdiction. And he makes that fairly clear, and we've had consultations with him several times. Now, when he talks about sitting back, it's my interpretation of that is any marijuana that leaves from where he does not have jurisdiction, meaning natives on Menominee Reservation, if individuals leave and have marijuana with them and they go into the surrounding counties, now the state has jurisdiction. So it might be, you know, granted this all needs to play out, but that might be part of my assumption on what he's speaking about.
There's a mission.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
There's a Michigan Indian law attorney, a guy named R. Lance Baldry, who was quoted in the Journal Sentinel. He said, quote, as a white guy, I would fully expect that I'm getting pulled over if I have marijuana and I drive off the Menominee Reservation. So in other words, the state might not be able to stop you on your own land, but they could certainly search cars driven by people heading into or out. And, you know, that might if it comes down to that, that might affect business at your casino.
Well, yes. I mean, all of this can happen. I wonder, though, whether it is worth the costing. Remember, there are a heck of a lot of there's a lot of criminal activity happening in the state of Wisconsin. And I would ask that our state troopers and our county police actually prioritize some of the violent crimes and others happening. Remember, the city of Shawnee had, at least for small possession, had lowered to a civil forfeiture possession of marijuana. So we know that, and that's a typical trend even in the surrounding counties, but also around Wisconsin. So we wonder if it would be worth the time and expense. As a taxpayer, and I pay property taxes, as a taxpayer, I would have a concern with that.
And you could imagine the reaction, and again, we're just dealing with hypotheticals far down the road here, but if, say, the governor and the attorney general put up roadblocks going into and out of Menominee County, you can just imagine the reaction, and I imagine it would be bad, not just from your tribe.
Well, yes, as a taxpayer, and understanding some of the crimes and some of the serious alcohol methamphetamines, prescription drugs, all of these types of drug abuse that are rampant, I think there's a higher priority need to really prosecute and investigate cases, as opposed to something that may or may not be, at the very least, less benign. It's not that it isn't benign, but studies show marijuana is at least less benign than the others. So if I were in charge of a police department, I would look at prioritizing my limited resources into what I think is actually saving people and making the most bang.
Do you believe that federal authorities would work to shut down production? There was a memo last October from the Department of Justice that indicated that the federal government might not choose to interfere, just as they aren't stopping Colorado and Washington State from allowing the use of marijuana.
Well, almost in the lines of what I had just talked about that prioritization, what they call the Cole memo that talked about the dilemma that the federal Department of Justice was in. They said, "Hey, marijuana is illegal federally. The states have legalized it, so we're caught in this terrible dilemma here." So they said, Department of Justice sent to the U.S. Attorney Generals in each of their distinct districts all across America that if you have marijuana legalized in your state, if they have a robust regulatory system that does not allow for distribution of marijuana to minors, participation by drug cartels. There's like eight of them.
Yeah, so, let me go through them real quick. Distribution to minors, money going to criminal enterprises, diversion of marijuana to states where it's illegal, used as a cover for trafficking other illegal drugs, preventing violence and the use of firearms, preventing drug driving, preventing the growing on public lands, and preventing possession or use on federal property. So there is these are the caveats set up by the federal government. So obviously, if you decide to go forward with this process, you've got some things that you have to be concerned about.
Well, you know, these are common sense concerns that I would hope any jurisdiction or municipality that would look at an ordinance that would legalize would look at anyway. I mean, they're common sense. So the fact that the U.S. Attorney District in each of their own respective districts has the ability to interpret these guidelines and decide whether or not they would enforce means that if you see an example in California, you see an example in Colorado, you see something in South Dakota, there may be different U.S. attorney generals in each of those respective areas, and it is their individual interpretation of how these are being enforced or not that might allow them to either prosecute or decide they are within those guidelines. I think it makes sense that I take my limited resources and go after other illegal activities that I prioritize otherwise.
Gary Bisaw, he is the tribal chairman of the Menominee Nation, which voted in an advisory referendum to legalize medicinal and recreational marijuana last week. We're going to be talking to him not only about that, but about the rejection of his plans, the tribe's plans for a casino in Kenosha, and more broadly about their history and culture. 1-800-780-9742 is the phone number. That's 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to Ray in Rhinelander. Ray, you're on with Gary Bisaw.
Oh, hi, Gary. I'm a non-native, but I have worked with Menominees so socially, economically, and spiritually for decades. I am very respectful of your tribe and what you do. the general public doesn't understand a lot of things because they're not educated, obviously. One thing in particular, if you would choose to explain to people, is that, not to pair off on different tribes, but not all tribes in the state are from Wisconsin. You know, and that needs to be clarified, and some have casinos here and there, et cetera. But the whole thing is that there's a lot. You have famous people that have come out of the Menominees, so movie stars, legislators, all kinds of things. And so for people to have this prejudice, possible prejudice, about this upcoming event of legalizing medicinal marijuana on your reservation, they need to look at the whole picture here. I get personally upset when I see people judging a culture on some minor things that are happening and not functioning, instead of looking at the overall look and broad range of the history,
Ray,
and the contributions.
Ray, we got it. Let's let Gary have a chance to respond. Ray, thank you so much, and Gary, your response to his comments.
Well, first of all, thank you, Ray, for those comments. And yes, the Menominee tribe, it is not common that in today's age a tribal nation has its creation story within a stone's throw of where they now reside. In the past, Menominee, our stories come from over 12,000 years ago at the mouth of the Menominee River, between Marinette and Menominee, the cities right on the Upper Peninsula. So we're within probably 60 miles, an hour drive from that. But our creation story and our whole story is specific to Wisconsin. At one time, our ancestral territory went south to Chicago, the whole eastern half of the state, up into Upper Michigan, and we actually even went all the way into Minnesota. So we are Wisconsin's original people, and our word even for Wisconsin. You know, and so many words get bastardized and just changed and adjusted as English try to pronounce them. But Wiscosuk is Wisconsin. That means a good place to live.
We have
original name.
Gary, we've got a recording of the Menominee creation myth that I may play later on in the show, providing we have time for it, in your native language by a gentleman named Mike Hoffman, who is making an effort. He lives in Stevens Point to preserve your language. But I want to circle back to the issue of marijuana right now and see if we can kind of touch the bases on that before we move forward with more of these cultural issues. The Libertarian Party issued a press release on Monday applauding your vote. They called it the first step in reforming Wisconsin's outdated and irrational drug laws. Andy Craig, who's a Libertarian candidate for Congress, wrote, and this is a direct quote, "This is a step toward the inevitable, which is the repeal of prohibition in Wisconsin. We urge the Menominee to move forward with implementing legislation immediately and to continue to defend their right to govern themselves and reject unjust laws." What's your reaction to that press release?
I think the biggest point to take in this is we are a sovereign nation, and exactly as he had mentioned, we have the right to govern ourselves. Now, as we step forward, this, quite frankly, is our decision, and we understand the merits of medicinal marijuana. That said, we also have concerns about the impact socially or legally or economically should we go forward with recreational.
Now, hold that thought if you could, sir, because I want to play a different reaction from 7th District Congressman Sean Duffy. He's a Republican, a Northwoods Republican, and I'd like you to listen to what he had to say about your vote at a recent appearance in Wausau.
We're talking about opportunities, right? We want people to go back to work. And if you can't pass a drug test, you can't get a job. And if you look at the unemployment on the reservations, they're higher than in other parts of the state. So if we want to incentivize people to get out of the unemployment phase and get to the employment phase, if you allow recreational marijuana, you're going in the wrong direction. And what happens in a country when we say, here's the deal. I know that in Colorado, we pass laws that say you can smoke recreational marijuana, but it's still it's against the federal law. But the federal government is going to pick and choose which laws they'll actually enforce and which ones they won't. So how do we know which ones are going to be enforced on me and which ones aren't? Is it if I have great political connections, or if I have an issue that the president agrees with, or the DOJ agrees with, they're not going to prosecute me? We take oaths to defend all these laws, whether we like them or not. And if we don't like them, we change them. This is crazy stuff, Glenn. Let's enforce all the laws. And if we don't like them, let's change them. But to legalize marijuana on the reservation in a place where they need more jobs, bad idea.
That's Congressman Sean Duffy at an appearance in Wausau recently, and he will be a guest on this radio show next week at this time. Gary Bisaw, Sean Duffy says it's wrong for your people because if they smoke marijuana, they'll fail drug tests and it will make it harder for them to get jobs. It will also make the unemployment on your reservation and the resultant poverty worse and not better.
Well, with all due respect to Mr. Duffy, when he says we cannot pick and choose, I fully agree. And there, the ultimate law of the land are the treaties that they had signed with the various tribes across America. So if you're going to say that, Mr. Duffy, then you need to honor the treaties. So I would start with that. So that said, let's move away from that. I do hear the point. And if we do legalize, if we look at some version of legalizing marijuana, it is specific to marijuana as of right now. We had no advisory referendum that talked about changing employer-employee drug testing. We have nothing specifically that we talked about regarding some of the housing units here on the reservation, and some of these are federal housing. So we haven't looked at changing those. This is specific. You know, and many people who work here within our tribal government, we have the random drug tests right now. If this was legalized, they understand that if they still wanted to work here, that currently is a condition right now. You know, you can't be caught, you know, on the random drug tests to have been using. So we're not looking at changing that. At least that's not what the actual advisory referendum questions were about.
Gary, we've got to hold that thought. We're way overdue for a break. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking to Gary Bisaw, the tribal chairman of the Menominee Nation, whose tribe voted in an advisory vote last week to legalize recreational and medicinal use of marijuana. We'll be back right after this. Here's Peter Tosh.
Some call it marijuana.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Eau Claire Children's Theater, Colosso Toyota, and Hooper Corporation, proud sponsors of WPR programs. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-law.com.
Whether we like it or not, best I can tell, the world's gone to hell and we're all gonna miss it a lot. All the
Lynchburg, Tennessee, just couldn't hit the spot. I got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, it's all going to pot.
Well, it's Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson taking us into our next segment with Gary Bisaw, tribal chairman of Menominee Nation. Merle has gone a long way from "We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee." We are talking about the tribe's vote to legalize marijuana. We'll also be discussing the governor's rejection of the tribe's plan to open a casino in Kenosha. And we'll be talking about the challenges and opportunities in more general terms that his people face. And Gary, we've got a message from Chris from Wisconsin Dell. She says her non-native family, there's a member who has serious medical conditions, and smoking marijuana is the only way that he finds relief. She also says that it's wonderful that such an intelligent man is in charge of the Menominee Nation. Chris also says the Native Americans have been the moral compass in Wisconsin. They're getting more done than our current legislators.
Well, first of all, I would I'd respectfully, again, like to say thank you for that compliment. We operate as a team here. It's not me. It's our legislature, and in a democratic process, it's our people moving forward. So I'd just like to say that it's not the man at all. We have a very complicated and sophisticated governmental system here, so I for sure give them a shout out in what they do, not whoever's sitting behind this desk. So that said, the point regarding medical marijuana, it's obvious by our vote, people understand that properly monitored and controlled, marijuana does have some very good medicinal properties. So that's the question. If we look at moving forward as the states that circle Wisconsin have, if we look at giving that type of ability for people who are suffering from PTSD, from cancer, from chronic pain, how would you put together that type of ordinance, that type of law, with all the particulars to make sure that it's not abused and it stays within those federal guidelines from the Department of Justice? That's the challenge, actually, how we might go forward with that. Remember, the health of the community is most important in developing any type of ordinance.
Gary, I had a chance to talk to Paul DeMaine, a member of the United Nation, the CEO and publisher of Indian Country News, and a former state Senate candidate on Friday when I was a substitute host on Wisconsin Public Radio's The Joy Cardine Show. Here is what he had to say about legalizing marijuana on tribal lands.
Number one, I think the hemp shouldn't even be there. It's industrial hemp. We import binder twine. We import bags and shoes and fabrics and so forth that are utilized with hemp products. I think it's ridiculous that hemp was ever included in the marijuana debate. When it comes to medical marijuana, I think we ought to let the doctors be the judge of that. Wisconsin has already legalized certain oils, which means that tribal governments in the state of Wisconsin, including the Menominees, that are exempted from Public Law 280, there's a difference between 10 other tribes and the Menominee Nation, in Wisconsin, which means that tribes could move in that area and provide those oils into their clinics through their medical services.
Paul, let me get a clarification from you.
Sure.
Do you believe that tribal governments should be able to grow marijuana as sovereign nations on their own land without the intervention of federal or state authorities? And how would the tribes react if the Menominee go forward with legalizing recreational marijuana and the governor takes aggressive measures to stop them, although it's unclear right now what he could do?
Well, I don't think the state has very much measures on the Menominee Nation the way it is. The question is how are they going to contain that, just like Colorado, Oregon, and so forth? The laws say that if you're going to grow it, you've got to be able to utilize it within your jurisdiction. So the Menominees are a long, long way. I mean, this is an advisory referendum. We may be years away from growing marijuana versus hemp.
But do you believe tribal governments should be able to grow it as sovereign nations?
I think they ought to be able to grow and regulate all of these factors on it. We have tribes that have huge areas. The Yakama Nation voted to make it illegal, not only on the reservation, but illegal within their ceded territories. So if the Chippewa tribes of northern Wisconsin collectively say, we don't want even northern Wisconsin to have legal marijuana, there might be some ramifications for that within the ceded territory. But I think tribal governments ought to have the ability to be able to regulate those activities within the context of Public Law 280 in this state and the federal mandate.
That's Paul DeMaine, the CEO of Indian Country News, and a guest on Wisconsin Public Radio's Joy Cardine Show on Friday. Gary Bisaw, your reaction to what Mr. DeMaine had to say.
Well, first, a disclaimer. Paul DeMaine is, I consider him a good friend of mine. And while we haven't talked much lately, I consider him well-informed on most Native-related issues. That said, I agree. You know, it's interesting to me that while the tribes understand our unique status, we understand it. We've acted within our own jurisdiction, and had practiced and assumed our own jurisdiction over tribal and other natives. It's only because of something as sensationalized as marijuana that many people are being educated to the fact that we assume our own criminal jurisdiction and the state does not over tribal members on our reservation.
Now, Paul DeMaine also says that industrial hemp, which is essentially marijuana without the THC, shouldn't even be considered as part of this topic. Everyone should be allowed to grow it for fiber, oils, paper, and so on as an industrial crop since it can't get you high.
Well, I think that goes as a given. You know, the fact that it's within the cannabis family, the marijuana family, and it was drawn into that is ludicrous. Yes, exactly that. For when you look at the benefits, not only medicinal with CBD oils or some of the other protein type mesh that can come from it to really help with diabetes and other issues, when you really look at all of the other various uses that hemp could give, it should be a mandate that you have to grow it. I mean, really, when you look at what it can do and how it can help reverse some of the wrongs that we're doing to our farmlands.
Will we ever see the Menominee Nation growing marijuana? Not marijuana, but hemp. Will we ever see you cultivating industrial hemp?
We believe that at some point in time you will.
Now, is it true that you wouldn't even be considering this legalization of marijuana if Governor Walker hadn't vetoed your plans for a casino?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. You know, there is a nexus, and let me explain that. The fact that the governor wrongly vetoed our Menominee Hard Rock Kenosha Casino, the fact that happened meant we still have need for revenue here. We saw that as that revenue source, not only for the reservation and for southeast Wisconsin, but for this whole northern region up here also. That's where most of the revenue would have came. So absent that, the tribe still has need for revenue. So
now the governor refused to say whether he would support it or veto the casino before the last election. Were you surprised in January when he turned it down?
Not after I knew he was making the presidential bid. We know what some of his backers, the Sheldon Adelson, some of the others thought regarding competitive casino, and especially in this market where Vegas gets many, many customers for conventions and conferences, and understanding he needs that Iowa Conservative Party backing. So we understood why he was. We didn't agree with it. We still don't agree with it. But I thought some of the writing was on the wall.
Now, the governor says that taxpayers could have been on the hook for $100 million if the Potawatomi lost revenue at their Milwaukee casino because he said it's the way Governor Doyle negotiated the compact with that tribe. Your reaction to that argument?
No, we expressly had come to the full agreement on the compact, and we made sure, and his staff agreed that everything we included in there made sure that the state was off the hook, and we would have any compensation would indeed come from Menominee. Not only that, we actually, even as a good corporate partner, would have looked at, and we made that offer early on in the negotiations, to provide funding for the Bucks Arena, and now look, we're paying $250 million initially, and God knows, after all the interest payments, we're probably looking at $400 million. As a taxpayer, I'm outraged.
You would have paid for the Bucks Arena or a portion of it?
Well, yes. We made that offer early on, and then towards the end, we come back and distinctly put it out as a press release and said, not only in just talking with the negotiating team, now we come forward and said, hey, wait a minute, we'll even take this public, and if you want to see that full commitment, if it helps, that indeed is what we would be doing.
So in February, you and dozens of other tribal members walked 155 miles in the midst of a Wisconsin winter. You walked all the way from Kashina to Madison to meet with the governor and change his mind, and then after walking those 155 miles, the governor refuses to meet with you and the rest of the tribe. How did that feel?
Well, you know, we talk about a government-to-government relationship, and I tell you, had the governor met with me to look me in the eyes and say, you know, Chairman Bisa, I'm sorry, I'm still going to say no. I'm not going to allow this. But to not even give that respect of government to government communication or to talk to someone's face. I mean, I lost a lot of respect for anybody that refuses to do that. I have to make tough decisions sometimes, and out of respect, I would rather talk directly to that individual, you know, as a man, I would, or as an elected official. That's my responsibility, and I have to represent this position of chairman as he should represent the position of governor with that respect for those who come before him and the honesty that should be entailed within that. So I thought that was not following a long tradition to at least not meet with me and to my face discuss this.
Claire from Baraboo says, and this is a quote, she thinks it's disgraceful how Governor Walker treated you after walking all of the way to Madison. And she says she supports the Menominee and feels they have the right to earn a living just like everyone else. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking to Gary Bisaw, who is the chairman of the Menominee Nation. We'll be back with more right after this. Here's Bill Miller.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Von Briesen and Roper, Central Wisconsin Symphony Orchestra, and Mineral Point Artisans. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Wausau's Woodson Art Museum, featuring after-dark photographs of North American botanical gardens, illuminated only by moonlight and flashlight. On view through August 30th. lywam.org.
We're back with Gary Bisaw, the tribal chairman of the Menominee Nation on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. According to a UW-Madison study, Gary, the Menominee are the poorest of Wisconsin's tribal nations. You rank last in overall quality of health. You've got the state's highest mortality rate, the highest number of children living in poverty, and the highest unemployment rate. Why is that something that plagues your tribe even more than the other tribes in Wisconsin?
Well, that's a good question. One of the reasons, and quite frankly, I believe this comes in a lot of our cultural belief. We have the largest reservation east of the Mississippi, probably almost a quarter million acres of prime forest.
And if you look at the map, it's all of Menominee County.
Yes, yes. And we even have some of our land into Shawnee County, some part of our reservation, just a little piece of it. But within that, we were told that we need to take care, in our beliefs, the animals and the trees, these are just as important as we as humans are. And that how dare we think that we use and manipulate these things as you see in some of the Western cultures. You know, we never really had a word in our language for resources, forest resources, you know, things to be used and manipulated. These were spirits, these were our relatives, and we lived in harmony with them. I mean, this might all sound hokey. It isn't to us, though. It's, you know, it's just realistically how it is.
Well, Patty Lowe, who's a member of the Bad River Tribe, has written a book about seventh-generation thinking, which basically means that as Native Americans, when you act, you are not just looking at what's good for you today, but how the impact of your actions will affect seven generations, your children, your grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, your great-great-great-grandchildren, and so on. This is so different than mainstream American culture. We'd have a different world if everybody thought that way.
Yes, we would. We'd have a pretty decent world, by the way, if everyone thought that way. So that's where we're caught. That's the dilemma somewhat where we're at. We have one of the most beautiful forests, in quite frankly, in the world. We have individuals coming from all over this globe to see how we do this sustainable forestry here. We're a model. We're a world model. So that said, the revenue from that is not enough to fully support the jobs and the needs of the reservation. And we have a casino, you know, but that fully, altogether our casino and our tribal program funding only account for like 30% of the revenue for the tribe in whole. And we're seriously underfunded overall. So we know there's concerns. We're looking at green industry. We're looking at sustainable industries, and while we had a large emphasis on the Kenosha Casino, that doesn't mean we're not looking at other types of businesses. It just happens that this is one of those we're looking at. We should say the Menominee do not have the luxury of not investigating potential revenue sources. So when it just so happened that one of them was the investigation of legalizing marijuana because of our status, now some people agree and some people are in uproar. But we don't have that luxury of saying, no, we refuse to investigate it, because maybe there is something if properly controlled and properly put together.
Gary Bisaw, we are completely out of time. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you. I sure appreciate the ability to speak somewhat for the tribe and explain the advisory referendum. I sure appreciate it, Glenn.
to thank again today's guest, Gary Bisaw, the tribal chairman of the Menominee Nation. You can find out more about his people, their culture, and their history at menominee-nsn.gov. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Bill Miller, Peter Tosh, Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson, Peter Phippen, and Buffy St. Marie. Next week on Route 51, our guests are 7th District Republican Congressman Sean Duffy and his wife, Rachel Campos Duffy. Remember to follow us on Facebook. If you missed part of the show, you can hear it in its entirety Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.